You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Il vostro spirito sia
con
voi. Christ is
risen. Il vostro spirito sia.
By this time, brothers and sisters, in our celebration of the great feast of our Lord's resurrection, you can hear already, people are tired of saying this. Somehow, this begins to wear on us, to greet people with the resurrection, to hear the resurrectional hymns. And I think that's really a sad state of our spiritual affairs, because this is the brightest, most beautiful, most incredible time of the year, when we celebrate our Lord's resurrection, his victory over death, and our opportunity to again attain the heavenly kingdom. We are busy in this world. We have lots of things that we have to do. But I think it's very important for us to be zealous, to celebrate the Lord's resurrection, to be zealous that Pascha is for us the most important time of year, to be zealous that as we are saying goodbye to the feast, as we are this week, that we have celebrated our Lord's great victory, and we even have a little soft spot in our heart. We are a bit sad that we are going on from the Paschal time. Almost 40 days into the feast, brothers and sisters, and today the Holy Church appoints for us a very long gospel. In fact, this is after a very long gospel last week. And certainly, our first sort of inclination is to say, oh, it's too long, it's too much. You know, this is just too much for me. Then why do we need to have all of these words? Why cannot everything just be said to us? Perhaps it could be sent in an email and we can skip the gospel or some sort of silliness like this. But we should thank God that he gives us this opportunity. We should thank God that we are given, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these two long gospel narratives as we come to the end of the Pentecost period. Pentecost is the 50 days between Pascha and the Feast of Pentecost. And so we're not celebrating the feast yet, but we are in the midst of the feast. Our inclination is to sort of see Pascha as an end. That we have struggled through the Great Lent, we have done that what it is that we need to do, we have prepared ourselves for the Great Feast, and then that should be enough. We are done. If that was the case, brothers and sisters, the church would mandate that it would be impossible, illegal, and wrong to serve the divine liturgy from the time of Pascha to Pentecost. However, the church does not only tell us that it is important to celebrate the divine liturgy, but on the first week of Pascha itself, during the bright week, we are to serve every single day. It's such a bright and radiant feast that everyone will be in church every morning, every night, that there's not even time to do weddings, if you can believe it, during Bright Week. They are forbidden. Not because being married is bad, mostly, it's good, mostly, but the fact of the matter is that if we are celebrating, there's actually not time to find a space to put a wedding in this holy and bright week. And the entire time, brothers and sisters, here we are with this great opportunity. The church does not ban the celebration of the service, but rather asks us to increase it as we celebrate the feast. And today we are given a very long gospel to listen to. This gospel of the man who was blind. And really, if we think about it, this is, in a way, a continuation of that Sunday of a few weeks ago where we had the paralytic. Do you remember the man who was by the sheep pool and he could not get in because someone else would go in there when the angel would stir the water and that person would be healed, but he could never make it because of his sickness, because of his paralysis. And we saw through the gospel that, in fact, this was a spiritual paralysis. Remember what the Lord said to him when he found him in the temple? Don't sin anymore, or a worse thing could happen to you. And so we see that sin and sickness are very often combined. and almost by default, because there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no death until sin came into the world. And so those things are almost always combined by very default, by very nature. But today, we see something different, something very unusual. And that is this man who is born blind. So, the apostles, remembering what Christ had said just a few weeks ago, said, well, look, who's at fault? Right? Last time you said to us, that guy with the bed, who couldn't get off his bed, don't sin anymore, or a worse thing will happen to you. So who's at fault here? Was it him or his parents? Why was he born blind? And the Lord instructs them, I think, very importantly, and for us also. He says, it was neither the fault of him or his parents, but for the glory of God. Now, brothers and sisters, each of us, because of our fallen nature, we will get sick. Maybe some of us will not get very sick, and maybe we will die very quickly, and we won't experience a long sickness, but that's unusual. Most of us have the opportunity to be sick several times in our lives, and sometimes it's something quite serious. And for us, I guess it's very hard to sort of say, well, let me examine myself spiritually. Now that I'm physically sick, let me examine myself spiritually. And if for some reason you can't do this, if for some reason you can't see that there is a connection between sickness and sin, then fine, think about this particular gospel, and that your sickness will be for the glory of God. You see, the Lord challenges us. He challenges us to understand the truth, but he also challenges us to go beyond ourselves, to raise ourselves up, to have a higher understanding of our lives than just some kind of animals that have figured out how to put clothes on. We are made in God's image, and we have the opportunity to attain to his likeness, and therefore we have to see that we have a high calling. Now, this sickness, brothers and sisters, for us, we look at this and we say, blindness, interesting, perhaps, kind of interesting. Interesting that the Lord sent him to wash in this pool. But really, what does it have to do with me? What can I take from this, besides having to endure the long gospel? Brothers and sisters, who of us who are standing here today, are not suffering from some kind of spiritual blindness? Really. Let's be honest. The metaphor of the church as a spiritual hospital is a very powerful one, and one that the fathers often use. Now, we are very good at seeing the sickness of our brothers and sisters. We are excellent physicians from that point of view. If it came down to just being able to diagnose other sicknesses, we would be great. Not ours, of course. We don't really have any. But everybody else around us, we are very good at seeing their sickness. And sometimes, we don't have enough control. We have to point it out. And perhaps even begin to tell them what it is that they need to do to solve their sickness. Well, this is our own sickness, and we need to work on that. But all of us, brothers and sisters, all of us are suffering from some sort of spiritual blindness. Now, the cure may be anywhere and anything. Or, rather than following after all kinds of, as the woman who was bent over, remember, she spent all her money on physicians and she was not made better by any of them. How does today's blind man, how is he healed? He is healed by Christ. And brothers and sisters, our spiritual blindness can only be healed by Christ. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, sometimes it's like a continuum almost. Sometimes we are not so blind, other times we are more blind, and other times we enjoy the blindness, quite frankly, and that's something that we also have to struggle with. But the cure is only one. No matter where we are on this continuum, there is only one cure. And that cure, brothers and sisters, is Christ. That cure is the Savior of the world, who rose from the dead, who trampled down death by death, and on those in the tombs bestowed life. And for all of these 40 days until Ascension, which is this Thursday, we have been celebrating this great and amazing feast. So brothers and sisters, before we say goodbye to the feast, before we say to the last time to our friends, to our loved ones, Christ is risen, let us look at ourselves. Let us examine our own spiritual sicknesses. Let us look at ourselves like this blind man in today's parable. And let us understand that the cure is Christ. That the church that he gave us for our salvation is a spiritual hospital the hospital where cures can be found. That the holy sacraments that he gave us of his body and his blood are the cure for our spiritual sicknesses. That repentance is a cure for our spiritual sickness. That living an Orthodox life, saying our prayers, being good and kind to our friends and loved ones, loving those who hate us, praying for those who spiritually who use us, this, brothers and sisters, is a cure for our spiritual blindness. We know the cure. I don't have to lay it out for you here, but sometimes hearing it again is helpful. So let's decide today, brothers and sisters, that we're going to struggle against our spiritual blindness. That we are not going to blaspheme God because there is sickness. Man made that decision, not God. It was only when man sinned that sickness and death came into the world. But rather let us understand that the spiritual sickness and blindness that we have can be cured by the all-merciful Savior, and that we will draw nearer to him for our salvation, that we will draw nearer to him for our healing, that we will draw nearer to him for our cure. And if that can be our decision, if that can be our firm intention that comes from today, brothers and sisters, then we have taken a large step towards our salvation. And may the merciful Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.